This is Dwayne Kaysen, Associate Pastor here at New Berean Baptist Church. We're having our midweek Bible study. And we're going through a series called What We as Bereans Believe. We're looking at the doctrines that we believe here from the Bible at New Berean Baptist Church. Acts 17:11 says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so." And this is why we are called New Bereans. At New Berean Baptist Church, we take the Bible as the foundation of this faith ministry with regards to its emphasis on the scriptures. We're looking at the Holy Bible and believe that it bears the truth. So we accept Acts 17:11 as the basis for our mindset and therefore what we believe here at New Berean. Let us open with prayer. Lord, we just thank you and we love you for the Word of God. We thank you for this gift that you've given us. It reveals who you are to us. We love you for letting us know who you are. We are studying tonight, Lord. We ask that you would show us more of who you are, for that indeed is the topic for today. We're talking about God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we ask that you would open our minds and we may receive your word with all readiness of mind. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're talking about God today. That's the topic that we're looking at. We're going to be looking at God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We believe that there's only one living God. He exists in three persons. We call that the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These are the three persons of the triune Godhead, one essence, having the same nature, being perfect in all of the attributes. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, if you're following along from the website. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Jesus Christ." He's the God-man. He's both God and he is man. 100% God and 100% man, because he had to have that nature about him so that he would qualify to be able to die on the cross as a man for our sins, even though he was sinless. Now, there is no word in the Bible that you will read that says Trinity. It is, however, a truth that is in the Bible. Let's take a look, if you would, at Genesis chapter 1, because you'll see that God's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all in this passage, in this chapter. We know from John chapter 1 and verse 1, it says that how Jesus is the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we know it's Jesus because in verse 14, it says that the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. This was Jesus. So Jesus was the Word, and John chapter 1 says that there was nothing made without him, for he is the Word. In the beginning, according to Genesis chapter 1, it says, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the face of the deep. And catch this, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And then if you look in verse 26 of Genesis chapter 1, it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, the birds, the sky, livestock, and all the wild animals, and cover all the creatures that move along. So let's unpack that and understand the essence of what we just looked at. Taking into account John chapter 1, says that Jesus, in John chapter 1, that nothing was made without him. We know this because the Bible says, let us make man. We know that he said, us, meaning the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's the us. Even though it's one God, it's an us thing. That's the Trinity. We also can look at that because Jesus was the Word, and when God spoke it into existence, it came to be, just as we have looked at in John chapter 1. What about the Tower of Babel? The Tower of Babel. In Genesis chapter 11, you can read that passage in verses 1 through 8. Look at verse 5 of Genesis chapter 11. It says this, because we remember that they were trying to build a tower. A man was to kind of show how great he was. Look at verse 5 of Genesis chapter 11. It says, but the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. Verse 6 says, the Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Verse 7 says, come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand each other. Who is the us? It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's God, period. But he said, let us go down and confuse their language. And then we see just another example of the Trinity in the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ. Looking at Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, it says, when he had been baptized, speaking of Jesus, Jesus came up immediately from the water. He was being baptized by his cousin, John the Baptist. And it says, behold, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. The Spirit of God was there. Jesus was there. And suddenly in verse 17 it says, a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son. Only a father would acknowledge that this person would be a son. He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So you see the Father recognizing the Son, Jesus, and we see the Spirit of God alighting on him like a dove. There you see the Father, you see the second person in the Trinity, Jesus, the Son, and you see the third person in the Trinity, in the Godhead, the Holy Spirit lighting upon him like a dove. So when we look at these passages as examples, we can see the Trinity being displayed here, both in Genesis, there in Babel, and in John chapter 1. And then the Genesis chapter 1, and then you see in Matthew chapter 3, we see another example of the Trinity. Well, who is the Father? Well, the Father is the supreme originator, creator, and the sustainer of all that exists. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 6 says, for yet for us there is one God, the Father of whom all things are all things, and we for him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things and through whom we live. There is one God, the Father. Among the gods, there is none like you. In Psalms 86 and verse 8, you, O Lord, nor are there any works like your works. There's none like him. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 30 says, for if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. That means he's omniscient. He's all-knowing. Where can I go from your spirit? Psalms 139 and verse 7. Or where can I flee from your presence? God is omnipresent. He is all-knowing. He is omniscient. He is omnipresent. That means he's everywhere, and he's omnipotent. There is none like him. He is the one who knows all things. He is omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent, everywhere, and omnipotent. Let's look at 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 11 and 12. It says, yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. He's all powerful. That's one of the characteristics of God the Father. What about the Holy Spirit? Here at New Berean Baptist Church, we believe the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He is God. He's co-eternal and co-existent. God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. It says this, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So here we're looking at the Holy Spirit, who's also all-knowing. How about that? The Holy Spirit is the chief agent in regeneration of the soul, the chief convictor of sin, the chief comforter, who baptizes the believer into the body of Christ. For the believer, he permanently indwells them, seals them in salvation for all eternity, and fills those yielded to him to perform the work and the service of God that Jesus said that we would do greater things than he would. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9 brings this out. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Now, why does he say in the spirit? Remember when God breathed into man, when he created him from the ground, from the clay of the ground, and man became a living soul. God said, we are going to make him in our image. Well, what image is God? God is spirit. So when God breathed into Adam, he was a spirit being with a soul, with the seat of the emotions, and he lived in a body of flesh. But the essence of man is that he's a spiritual person with a soul who lives in a body. That's how we can connect with God. When we get saved, it is God's spirit and our spirit together. It says, we are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. That's Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13 talks about how he permanently indwells in us as well, and seals us until the day of redemption. It says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, that means the gospel of our salvation, in whom Also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. If you think you can get unsaved after you've been saved, that's not going to happen because the Spirit of God has sealed us. That's one thing that we can just praise the Lord for. We cannot lose the salvation that we have received as a result of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And what about Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, at New Berean Baptist Church, we believe that the Lord Jesus is the eternal Son of God who came into the world that he might manifest God to men, being in the flesh, fulfilling the prophecies, and then becoming the Redeemer of a lost world. To this end, he was born of the Virgin Mary, received a human body and a sinless human nature, which means that he did not come from the seed of Adam, without ceasing to be God. He is both man and he is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's John chapter 1 and verse 1. Look at verse 2 of John chapter 1. It says, he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Remember, he's the Word. God spoke it into existence. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. We know this because this is the Word of God. And we know that John the Baptist, his cousin, was a witness to it all when he came into being. It says in verse 10 of chapter 1 that he was in the world and the world was made through him and the world did not know him. He came into his own and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, but of the will of man. Not of the will of man, but of God. Then verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And John was one of those disciples that saw Jesus glowing in the dark because the glory of God was upon him on the Mount of Transfiguration as he was there with Moses, who represents the law, and Elijah, who represents the prophets. We believe that it is in this infinite love of the lost that Jesus voluntarily accepted his Father's will and became the divinely provided sacrificial lamb and took away the sins of the world. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 5 says this, and you know that he was manifested, that means displayed, shown, to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. He's 100% God, so he's divine. There is no sin that Jesus could commit. John chapter 1 and verse 29 says, regarding Jesus, as John the Baptist is talking here, the next day John, that's the Baptist, saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We believe at New Berean Baptist Church that he rose from the dead in the very same body he was born in, though it was glorified, in which he had lived and died, and that his resurrected body is the pattern of the glorified body that we will ultimately be given as believers. Jesus did not get a new body. It was the same body, but it was resurrected and it was glorified. And that's the body that he has today. You and I will share in the same way when we go to be with the Lord, when we leave this place, and one day we're going to get a new body. But it's not going to be this dead body that we have today. It's going to be a new body, and we will be like him. We believe that on departing from the earth, he was accepted by his Father, and that his Father's acceptance is a final assurance to us that Christ's redeeming work was perfectly accomplished. When Christ went to the cross, he became a sin offering for us. In fact, the law was nailed and voided while he was on the cross. Satan lost, death lost. Victory is in Jesus Christ. And because he rose from the dead, that was the guarantee that all of our sins have been paid for. Not one sin shall be considered unpaid. There's only one sin that man can commit, and that is the sin of unbelief. We believe that he became the head over all things to the church, which is his body. That means us, the church. And in this ministry, he does not cease to intercede and to be an advocate for the saved. I'm so glad that he's sitting next to God the Father interceding for old Dwayne Kaysen. Amen. He needs some interceding. And God is doing that. Jesus is the one who is interceding for me. He's praying for me. He's looking at me. And I'm sure that if I want to look at it from a joking standpoint, as I do sometimes, that he's looking at his Father saying, look at this guy, watch him. I knew he was going to do it. I'm so glad that he's there to intercede, be an intercessor for me and my crazy self. But I thank God that he died on the cross for my sins and that he is there. I have the Holy Spirit living and dwelling in me, so that I can have that power to do the right things, to walk the right way. And I have a Heavenly Father that I can pray to and ask for his help, for his encouragement, for my provisions, to continue to keep me in the faith, to help me to learn. And I have the Holy Spirit who was able to help me understand the Word of God and to live out my life in him. I thank God that I have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we at New Berean Baptist Church believe that we have indeed this great Trinity. God, the one God who is both God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's going to end our session tonight. The next topic that we will be covering will be creation, man, and Satan. Creation, man, and Satan. Those are the next topics that we'll discuss the next time that we get together in this midweek Bible study. Let us pray. Lord, we just thank and we love you for your word. We thank you that you have given it to us as a message to us. You have revealed yourself to us, and we thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.